Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Wilson looking deep for Sutton. Nice adjustment and the catch. Wilson has time. Looking deep. Has a man wide open at Sutton. A breakdown in the Texans secondary. And Cortland Sutton moves the chains. A 35-yard gain.
Play fake.
Wilson taking a shot deep for his tight end. Texans just 2-for-10 on third down. Pressure coming. Mills in trouble. And down he goes. Draymond Jones, the first to get him. Singleton fell on top. Lovie Smith will punt with Cameron Johnston. And there was no punt returner back for Denver, and they had to call a timeout. Unbelievable. How does that happen? How do you not have a returner go out? Russell Wilson started the game 6 out of 20. Since then, 6 for 6. Play clock expiring. And a timeout called by Denver. Out of timeouts with 7:38 to go in the ballgame. I mean, between the clock management, the penalties, red zone, goal to go, it has been a real rough start for Nathaniel Hackett. There it is, 4th down and 11. Mills throws, incomplete, intended for Cooks, and the Broncos are going to win the ball game.
Okay. They did win. Let me just get that out there. They did win. They're 1-1, and considering that there are other teams that you figure that they would be competing for a playoff spot this year that are 0-2 or worse, the Raiders step forward and take a bow there, Josh McDaniels. 0-2. The Bengals. Last year, Mirage. Bengals are 0-2. Colts. Matt Ryan looks washed. 0-1-1. So, as bad as it was yesterday, it could be worse.
Victory!
How's that for finding the silver lining? Talk about a they won, but... Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Good morning, Michael. It was, Yeah, I mean, it's all right. They got a victory. They got things ironed out. Yes. There was a few wrinkles in the dress shirt.
Yes.
But they ironed them out.
Right, right.
Whew. There's some positives in it.
Whew. Really?
Sure.
Were there?
Sure.
Please tell me.
Russell Wilson to Cortland Sutton looks like it's in midseason form.
Okay. All right. Give me that.
They're still running the heck out of the ball.
They are doing that.
I don't know how well they're matching it with, with the passing game. I mean, I feel like you should get a heck of a lot more, like, designed explosives when you're running it that well. But you know, that said, they're, you know, got a you know, he and Corliss starting to figure it out. Hey.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So
there's my positive.
They had two delay of game penalties on field goal attempts.
Right.
Committed three false start infractions all at home.
Uh-huh.
Committed another 13 penalties. It's the most penalties in a two-game span in the team's 62-year history. 25 penalties in back-to-back games.
Uh-oh.
They're now 0-for-6 in the red zone when it comes to scoring touchdowns. And the crowd did something I've never, ever, ever seen before as a fan or covering the league. The home team fans counting down the play clock whenever it got under 10 just to remind the guys, hey, you might want to get going. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it.
I will say, you know, so I fly home from San Francisco last night, land at about 10:30, get to my house, put on the Broncos tape, start watching the game. So, you know, getting through the game last night. And I mean to tell you, I was shocked. The crowd, Bronco faithful, Broncos country, is booing them from the opening kickoff. I mean, they're on them, voicing their displeasure. I tell you, I like, welcome home to Denver. We don't like what we saw Monday night, and we're going to let you know about it.
We need some convincing.
Obviously, can I say something? Obviously, none of you that go to Broncos games go to Rockies games. Not one of you goes into the, obviously you guys don't go. You do not go down to, what is it, Stan, Pat, and Blake? You guys don't head down there. Or you're two different people.
Yes, the same ones that go to those Bronco games clearly are not Nugget fans.
Yes.
Because those same fans give Nugget have given the Nuggets unlimited patience.
Right.
For years and years and years. And I guess those people that were at the Broncos games are not, we're not Avalanche fans up until this year.
Right.
Because they afforded the Avalanche years and years and years of patience and goodwill. But man, this team, they were booing them from the start.
From the start. I was like, wait a minute, is this game in Denver? Did I get this, like, did I get it wrong? I thought it was our home opener. Wait a minute. I mean, dude, zero.
3,100 no-shows.
Zero patience. And I am getting things on Twitter while I'm calling the San Francisco-Seattle game where they're like, dude, Hackett has to go. I'm like, whoa, calm down, people.
Wow.
It happened quickly.
Yeah. Well, I'm very curious to get your thoughts on San Francisco as that game now looks a whole lot different after what we saw from the Broncos yesterday and what we saw from the 49ers yesterday. So we'll get to all of that. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday. Keep reminding yourself, they did win. They did win. But apparently, based on the reaction of the fans, it's not just about the win. How you win does matter. So we're getting your thoughts, your reaction. Ramoslav.com, text line 303-713-1043. And was this performance proof that all the criticism that Nathaniel Hackett has received is deserved? That's next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Action already pouring in. Well, it's been pouring in since the game was going on yesterday and certainly after the game. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday as we get your thoughts to a Broncos win. But it's certainly not a win that has people impressed. Some reaction on the text line. Man, when did Broncos country become Philadelphia? I'll take this win and look forward to improvements as the season goes. This is a rookie staff. Give them some slack. Okay. Some more. We need a head coach that has experience with shorter quarterbacks. I hope when Nathaniel Hack gets fired towards the end of the season, Sean Payton's sitting next to the phone waiting for the Broncos to call.
Ooh. Well, that ain't happening. I mean, you knew there were going to be... Despite, hey, man, I've been around. What was the soundbite? Been coaching for a long time, and, you know, you knew there were going to be some growing pains, right? I mean, that was going to be obvious that there were going to be a few growing pains. I guess we just didn't think it would just be, you know, getting plays in. Dude, I've been in that situation, man. I've been in 1993. Like, things fell apart. We had Richie Pettibone. It was 92. Joe Gibbs retires. Richie Pettibone takes over in 93. You know, and honestly, like Joe Gibbs was ahead of, in charge of the offense, you know? So he was, you know, head coach / coordinator calling plays. So we have a guy, you know, we have a couple different coaches that kind of just take over that didn't really have that experience, Mike. I can't tell you how many delays a game, how many times we got to play in, and we're scrambling up the line of scrimmage, and then you snap it, like from an execution standpoint. Sometimes you snap it, you don't get to see the entire picture. You're so busy running up the line of scrimmage, you're like, what are they in? What's the potential of, you know, who's rolling down? Which safety is going to roll down and run support? Which, you know, are they going to play a two shell? What, like all these things. But you're like, hurry, 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 you know, and you snap the ball. And then you don't execute very well because you're behind the eight ball. You're just pressed for time. And so I've been in that situation. And you know, young coaches are sitting there on the sideline deciding, what are we going to call? Where are we going to go? You know, what's the situation? It's going to get better. It better get better.
You sure?
Yeah, it better get better.
Well, two games in, one thing is clear. And in all the criticism that was directed at Nathaniel Hackett during the preseason, all the guys on our station, all the former players that expressed doubt, criticism, skepticism of the way Nathaniel Hackett handled the preseason, they all get the last laugh. They were all right. Because with what we know now, it didn't work. Because not only were you ill-prepared to start the season, those reps that you missed out on clearly would have made a difference, not only for the first team, the starters, the players, but the probably the coaches the most to get some reps in with the under game-like conditions with your actual starters. So not only was that an epic fail, you're just not ready for the season. And you, if anything, you regressed from game one to game two. But secondly, the whole idea behind this was to keep guys healthy. And these guys are a walking MASH unit already. Two games in. Look at all the injuries. So much for keeping guys healthy. Maybe some of these injuries wouldn't have occurred if they actually did go out and practice and play. I don't know. But all we know is that the strategy behind what they did in the preseason has failed on both accounts. Epically.
What is Pat Surtain's injury?
Shoulder.
And then Jerry Jeudy's a shoulder too. That is not. But they'll be fresher in December.
It didn't work.
It's not an injury, Mike. It's freshness.
Okay, it didn't work.
It's not injury. So you're confusing.
Hurt but fresh.
Once again, you're confusing. This is not about injury prevention as much as it was about freshness. Yes. It's like washing your clothes and not using, you know, a downy fabric softener or whatever, you know, smelly stuff you put in there. You know, stuff that. What do you put in the dryer, like the bounce sheets, to keep it from clinging? Yeah.
Texter says, I was at the game yesterday. Man, Broncos country turned on Hackett and Russ quickly. Come on, man. Give it some time. Well, maybe last week when all of us here at The Fan were accused of beating a dead horse, maybe we didn't. And maybe we understood where the mindset of the fans were. And where the heads were with Broncos country, because what we saw yesterday was a very impatient fan base, a very demanding fan base, and a fan base that isn't going to tolerate this and isn't going to just sit back and say, okay, boys, don't worry, it'll be okay, wave our pom-poms, all that. This is a fan base that looks at this team with a set of standards that hasn't existed around here for a long time. And if they're not going to get that team to play to those standards, fans are going to let them know.
Hey, let me ask you real quick about...
they're going to let them know, and can I just say kudos to the Broncos. Yeah. I thought the Bronco fans yesterday were awesome. That's the way it should be, okay?
Coming out.
Well, maybe it is.
Pitchforks and lance.
Maybe it is, but I've never bought the idea that as a fan, you just root for the home team no matter what. One thing about being a fan, you have the right to love your team today and hate them tomorrow. That's your right as a fan. And I think the best fans are the ones that do hold their teams accountable and their players accountable and their coaches accountable. And so what I saw yesterday was a fan base
that is holding the Broncos players and coaches accountable, and I thought it was awesome. Good for you. Those 70,000 fans that were there yesterday, great job. That's the way it needs to be done.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. So the plan Monday night in Lumen Field, where the longest field goal ever kicked was 56 yards, was a 64-yarder from the left hash. The plan at Mile High Stadium, Involuntary Field, what was the name of our field?
Involuntary Field?
Yeah, what's the name of our field again?
Empower Field.
Yeah, I knew it was an M. So our plan was kick a 54-yarder, delay a game penalty. We can't hit a 59 because it's from the right hash, or like 59's too far in our own stadium, but 64 in Lumen is the mark we're trying to get.
That three-play sequence was – that took the cake because, first of all, remember, it was on a third and one.
Oh.
They decided to
hand
the ball off to Andrew Beck.
Yes.
Who then
– is going to option.
Runs the option.
By the way.
So it goes that play, disaster, loses a yard. Right. Then you're going to kick the field goal, but you get a delay. Knocks you out of field goal range, then you punt. Woo!
But it knocks you out of field goal range because you don't want to kick a 59-yarder at home, but your plan on the road was a 64-yarder.
Correct.
Huh.
At that point, I'm watching, and as stunned as I was that they tried to kick the field goal last Monday, I'm like, okay, they back it up 5 yards. They're still going to kick the field goal because it's mile high. It's 59.
Yeah.
And then the punter's out there. I'm like, what are you doing? What is going on?
By the way, just the trickery on third down and one with the little option play.
Ugh.
That thing was so, it was so off, Mike. The relationship between pitchman and running back was so poorly run. Is it, like, even if you wanted to pitch it, the relationship between the two was just off. You couldn't. I mean, it's just this. It was a
debacle.
Yeah.
I thought you were adding French to it.
I was.
You mean a debacle?
No. I was trying to.
A debacle.
Well, I wanted to go a debacle. I wanted to be more Frenchy.
Yeah.
But it was a debacle.
We'll just leave it at that. It was bad. Morning Brew coming up next. And while Bronco fans showed their impatience, there was a Bronco player who was not happy with the way you behaved yesterday. You'll hear about it next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, that was, I guess that was helpful if needed. You know, I guess they do that in basketball some. You know, I've been around some basketball players and stuff like that. You know, this crowd was amazing. And once again, you know, how they were, especially when the defense was out there, the game on the line. I mean, I know how hard that is as a quarterback and hearing all that noise and all that tenacity and all that. So that was great that our fans were really into it. And this is a great football crowd, that's for sure.
He's the best.
I just wish I could go through a day like and approach it like Russell Wilson does. You know,
yeah, it's
just
to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Good.
Everything's good. Hey, listen, crowd booing us off the field, crowd derisively chanting down the play clock because we've just been a house of horrors on offense all game long. Nah, it's a good crowd. Good crowd. Good crowd. Why did this offense take a step back yesterday, instead of building on what they did on Monday night, where they moved the ball at will, they didn't finish in the red zone, but the idea was, okay, this is the get right game. They put it all together. Why did they regress?
Well, they regressed because they have 13 penalties, bunch of offsides, another bunch of delay games. I mean, that's regression. I don't know how many drops they were credited for, but. Man, come on, got to catch the ball. You know, and then you have an injury to Jerry Jeudy. So now it's Tyree Cleveland becomes your next guy in line who also had a big drop. I mean, it got to the point where you were just basically the one dude you trusted if you were Russell Wilson was Courtland Sutton. And that's where you're going. So, you know, I mean, I don't know about regression, Mike. I like the numbers would have been, would have, could have, should have. Hey, man, they'd have beat Seattle if they don't fumble twice on the 1 yard line. You know, they should have. Russell Wilson's numbers would look a whole lot different if people are catching the ball. You know, like this, that, and the other. Hey, man, their offense would have been clicking had they not kept shooting themselves in the foot. Bottom line, that's your fault. Like, it's like the coach says, like, hey, man, the game would have been different if we'd, hey, that one play would have changed. No. Stop with the one play baloney. That's garbage. Execute.
Next on the Morning Bro.
Pure energy.
We're going to have to look at all those. We're going to have to put them up in front of all the guys. We're going to have to make sure they understand why they were penalties, what they're doing wrong, you know, whether it's a false start, whether it's an illegal cut block. So we just got to be sure that we clarify it to them because, you know, this has got to stop. We're not going to win a lot of games when you get that many penalties.
12 penalties against Seattle, 13 more yesterday,
mm-hmm.
25 penalties in two games. That's the most penalties in a two-game span in Bronco history.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
What?
The history of the Broncos. That's how you started off your tenure as a coach. And let's face it, you know, showing the guys, one, point the finger itself from a coaching staff standpoint. Because delay of games, that's on you guys. And delay of games, you know what that leads to? Offsides penalties. Right? Because you're antsy. Because you're running out of clock, you're running out of time, things aren't working. Like, that's, you can sit there and point to the fellas, say, hey, we got to be better. But ultimately, that's like when you give up 7 sacks, you know, and everybody says the O-line's like, no, you suck as a play caller. You're awful. You give up 7 sacks, you're basically putting your guys out there to, you know, to bleed. It's just not good enough.
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Good energy. A lot different different environment for me. You know, I'm used to playing in the dome, but it's good to go out there in the grass. Great fans, great energy. Got to calm down on the booing and stuff like that. You know, we'll take care of that when we find some more success throughout the year.
Randy Gregory, first exposure to Broncos country. Right. He's like, hey, man, you guys got to cut down on the booing. Were Bronco fans too harsh yesterday?
No, they want to see, hey, man, Bronco fans have been living in the desert, just completely parched, dying of thirst for some offense. You finally addressed it with a quarterback, offensive head coach. Like, we're going to take care of the issue. I mean, that was the bill of goods that you've been sold as a fan base. And what ended up happening was awful. It was lack of execution, same old, red zone issues, like the whole nine yards. They don't like it.
Bronco fans are smart fans. And what I saw and heard from them yesterday, I give them nothing but credit. Awesome. That's the way a crowd should act. You have high standards. You know what's right. You know what you're watching is bad. And you let them hear about it.
I want a queen!
Fantastic. Fantastic crowd yesterday. Well done. Couldn't be prouder of you. Next on the Morning Brew.
Off the play fake. Garoppolo, he's got a tight end. It is Ross Dwelly. And Ross Dwelly lunging in for the touchdown.
Well. The game you called yesterday for Fox. Trey Lance gets hurt on the second series of the game. Busted ankle. Done for the season. Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy the 49ers tried to give away, he takes over, leads him to a victory, and now the Jimmy G-led 49ers come in here Sunday night.
They just became a much better football team.
Yep.
With Jimmy G at quarterback.
Yep, that game just got a lot tougher.
And let me tell you something, they're legit, man. They are very, you want to talk about a really well-built, well-constructed roster. They have it, and now they have a quarterback who makes them two-dimensional. Listen, they're just like, hey, Trey Lance.
Meaning what? Two-dimensional.
Meaning they can throw it and run it. Like, Trey Lance may have been the play and made them better for future years, like to next year and the year after and whatever. But they're a better football team with Jimmy Garoppolo operating right now. And I think if health, you know, if they're blessed with health, Jimmy Garoppolo gives them a legitimate chance to win that division.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat joins us coming up next. He has remained steadfast in Nathaniel Hackett's corner, but is his confidence starting to erode? We'll talk to James next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
James Merrillat of DenverFan.com joins us courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Did I see you refer to this as the worst win in Broncos history?
Yes. Now, that may be a little bit hyperbolic.
You know! Caught no up. Way!
Caught up in the moment. But in all honesty, I'm trying to think back. And, you know, I had some people respond on Twitter with some good recommendations. And there was the win in Kansas City when Tim Tebow completed two passes. Maybe that qualifies, but... Yeah, it was an ugly performance all around. It was a game that if you're playing anyone other than Houston, you probably lose, almost assuredly lose. So, yeah, it was a win, and at the end of the year, you know, maybe we won't remember exactly how they got this W, but the day of and the day after, I think it would be we'd be remiss if we didn't pay attention to how it looked.
What is the situation or what is the story in your imagination with Nathaniel Hackett and this offense, I don't know, not being able to get a play in on time, the delay of games, just the whole mismanagement of the game.
It's shocking. I think it was the story of the game, and it was you know, the delay of games, the indecisions, the lack of a process. They just looked like a bunch of people who were doing it for the first time, and that was my biggest concern about this coaching staff. Is it reminded me of 2010. With Josh McDaniel's staff that year, when everybody, especially in the high positions, the head coach and the coordinators, it was the first time they had done it. Once they got rid of Mike Nolan after 2009, then it was a bunch of newbies. And doesn't mean they can't do the job or won't be able to do the job eventually, but it does mean that, you know, out of the gate, there's going to be some growing pains, and there's nobody there really to kind of help them along to some extent. So it's a mess. I just, it's something that, you don't see it in middle school games. You don't see it in high school games, college games. So to see it on the NFL level is just absurd. And I thought Broncos fans hit the nail on the head with what I'm calling their Bronx cheer when they were counting down the play clock. That sends a message, right? It's sarcastic. It's basically they were trolling the head coach and saying, hey, well, if you can't do it and you can't see the big clock in the end zone that's counting down, we'll help you out here, coach. I thought that sent a message that this isn't going to fly in Broncos country.
Vince with James Merrillat. Okay, so were Bronco fans too mean with their booing and B, too sarcastic and unfair with their counting down of the play clock?
I don't think either one of them. And, you know, it's just they're tired of bad football. And to some extent, is Nathaniel Hackett paying for the sins of Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio? Probably. But that's the situation Nathaniel Hackett walked into. And when you're replacing a guy who wasn't successful, and one of the main criticisms of him was how he managed games, that's the number one thing you probably got to get right, and you've been worse. And the other part of it was, hey, this offense was bad, and, you know, Pat Shurmur, and it was just dreadful to watch. You get Russell Wilson, and you're averaging 16 points a game through two games, and you're having to resort to gadget plays to try to move the ball. I think it's very fair. People are fed up with it. They're tired of it, and they're not going to continue to shell out big-time money to go watch that kind of product. I don't blame them one bit.
James, so let me get this straight. 64-yarder at Lumen Field, where the longest field goal ever kicked was 56, is a great plan, but a delay of game going from 54 to 59 is a no-go, and you got to punt, right? That's logic, right?
Well, and the other funny part about it, Stink, is the 64-yarder McManus kicked it. There was the timeout, and he missed it, right? So Hackett saw him miss it and still kicked it. Yesterday, McManus kicked the 54-yarder,
yep,
and it was right down Broadway and would have been good from 65, and he decides, no, we better punt it. It's just the decision-making and the logic just of this head coach and this coaching staff just makes absolutely no sense. The other part of it, and this is part of why I think the fans reacted the way they did yesterday, there has been an arrogance from this coaching staff, you know, from Nathaniel Hackett saying, you're not going to be nervous. It's just a game. I mean, I've coached a ton of games, to Justin Outen coming out and having his Marty McFly reference and refusing to answer questions for the even though it's the first time anybody's been able to ask him questions about the biggest play in the season opener. And I think people reacted to that, rightfully so.
Does Russell Wilson deserve more blame for what we've seen in the first 2 weeks?
I think he's getting his fair share. I mean, I do think the boos yesterday were for Nathaniel Hackett and then the team. I don't think they were directed at Russell Wilson. I think he's getting some of the criticism, though. Yesterday was a bit of a mess once Jerry Jeudy went out, and you're looking around, and it's like, okay, well, it's Tyree Cleveland and Kendall Hinton, and you know it's the guys he was working with. It was a bit of a hodgepodge. I think he's throwing the ball well. But guys, he can't move at all. I mean, his lack of mobility is just, that's a big time concern. I mean, I watched that game yesterday where Russell Wilson can't escape anything. I mean, before the field goal that they kicked to make it 16-9, when he took a sack trying to scramble to the left and he just fell down and tripped over the hash marks, was an embarrassing play. You watch that, and then you watch 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers just run around the field like a kid. It's night and day. So I think he deserves some of that criticism, and I think those of us who, you know, tried to point out that, hey, Russell looks a little, you know, a little hefty in all these travel pictures during the offseason and got accused of body-shaming the guy. No, he runs around like a guy who spent most of his offseason on a private jet. That's what he looks like.
Okay, well, it was a win, and as ugly as it was, how would you like to be in Vegas right now? How would you like to be in Cincinnati right now? How would you like to be in Indy right now, where Matt Ryan looks like he's toast, done?
No, I think that's a really good point and good perspective, Mike, of, yeah, it's bad, and they're 1-1, and we're frustrated. But honestly, they should be 2-0. They should have won the opener. So it could certainly be worse, and I do think they're going to get it corrected, because all of the problems we saw yesterday, other than Russell Wilson's mobility, all the problems we saw yesterday are fixable. I'm going to stick with my they're going to be 7-1 coming home from London pick. But the Jimmy G news certainly was a curveball. But look, there are things to be excited about. I do think this defense is legit. Bradley Chubb was great in Week 1. Randy Gregory was great yesterday. So if you're looking for some positives, look at Idro Evero's group. They've been sensational the last 6 quarters.
All right, James, thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
James Merrillat at DenverFan.com. Join us, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. And James joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Coming up next, how did Nathaniel Hackett feel about all that booing? You'll hear in 4 Down Territory coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.